Let us pray. Lord, by your grace, we come before you, not because we are good, but because of the blood of the Lamb. So as we seek your presence, Lord, we want to hear you. So Lord, this morning, speak to us. We commit ourselves, everyone, before you. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen. I have been sharing the Old Testament for quite some time. Today, I'm going to talk about David's transgression. But before I go on, let me recap a little bit about the background. The background, I started from Genesis. We are up to 2 Samuel now. But in Samuel, the time in Samuel and 1 and 2 Samuel is about the time of the judges. It's the era moving from judges to kings. So in 1 Samuel, we talk about Samuel, we talk about Saul, we talk about David. We talk about how Saul, when he seems to be a good man, but when he became the king, he focused so much on himself. He wanted to make himself high and exalted himself instead of exalting God. So God chose David to replace Saul. And David, when we think about him, oh, he's such a good man. He was so brave. He overcame Goliath when everybody trembled, but he stood up. This young man overcame Goliath. Not just overcoming Goliath, when Saul started to have jealousy over David, he persecuted David. But David forgave Saul. He spared his life 2 times. Oh, David is such a good person. We love him. We think he's a hero. And not only that, last time we also shared, David also has a heart. Oh, I've have such a beautiful palace. What about God? He think about God. He wants God to have a resting place. So he cared about God. So now when we look at David, he is such a hero, such a perfect person in our hearts. Last time I talked about David in 2 Samuel, the first 10 chapters, talk about his triumph in all these trials. But unfortunately, we are going to see another reality. Today, we are going to talk about his transgression, how he sinned, and all the troubles that came afterwards, from chapter 12 to chapter 24. We're going to talk about David's troubles. But before we move on, I always have such problem. Such a perfect person in my mind. To me, he's a hero. Imagine one day when you are in the market in Jerusalem, you heard about some rumors talking about David's transgression. Wow, what did he do? He sinned. Unbelievable. You know, people like to gossip. People like scandals, especially about the royals. Oh, so they are like us. They are not so special. People like all this, like to listen, gossips. He sinned? Are you serious? He committed adultery? Are you serious? He committed murder? Wow, we shouldn't say that. Now, imagine in today's circumstances, if you are involved in, if you know, look at about the media. If a leader makes some mistake, if you are in some country, the media won't mention it. They always say something glorious about their leaders, and they try to hide all the transgressions, all the sins of the leaders. Or in some other places, when some leader makes some mistakes, all the media, the opposition party, will accuse him, demonize him. Look at him, so selfish. all this for himself. So the media, they're so powerful nowadays. When they say something, they give us a picture. So being the public, we say, oh, is he like that? The leader? So we just believe every news. And the media can manipulate our thinking. So it will affect the polls. It will affect the next leader. They may have a new leaders. But thank God, when God gave us his word, we can see was not through the media, not from someone who loves David or not from someone who hates David. From God's eye, from God's will. It is so good that God told us by himself. We can know what's the truth in God's eye. Who is the reality of David in his eyes. So when we look at this, we may say, oh, such a hero. How come he become a villain? Why such change? But when we look at it, then we realize, oh, we are not so different. Even David can sin. How about me? Oh, I may not be that safe as I think. So let us look at God's word and how God recorded it in the Bible and how God put it there. The words he chose has a special meaning. God is trying to give us the picture. So let us go down to have a look. So in chapter 1, it talks about the sin of the first 5 verses, the sin of adultery of David. And after that, when he tried to cover up his sin, he committed the sin of murder from verse 6 to 27. But God knows about this, and God is going to make his judgment. So I tried to talk a little bit about that on chapter 12, 1 to 13 as well. The details is in the Bible, but I'm going to read it quickly, and we are going to discuss about 3 questions about what we can learn from this passage. So let's look at chapter 11, the first 5. It happened in the spring of the year, so God tells us the time, at the time when kings go out to battle. So if I put it in a less word, it's the time for battle, to go to battle. What did David do? David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. So brothers and sisters, when we read the Bible, try to read it. God is trying to tell us something. Time to battle, but David remained. Now, God is trying to tell us something. This is the time to battle, but he did not take part. He stayed back, very relaxed, enjoying his time. So this is maybe the first step for his fall. We don't know. When we come to verse 2, and it happened one evening, that David arose from his bed. Ah, not very often. The Bible mentioned about someone rose from his bed. It's recorded here. It's not from the media or someone who's telling us. It's God telling us, giving us a picture. He just rose from the bed. It's not early morning, it's evening. Ah, again, it seems a bit strange. He sleeps through the whole afternoon. He was so relaxed. Now this is another step. You should fight, not fighting. And you let yourself just following, enjoying yourself, totally relax. No vigilance. And walk on the roof, very relaxed on the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. First, he saw. But unfortunately, the lust of the eye caused him, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. That means he can look from far away and he can saw that woman. That woman, very beautiful. That means he has been looking at that for some time. So another step. So it's not a sudden fall. It's not a sudden collapse. Like the buildings in Turkey because of the earthquake. It's not a sudden collapse. It's step by step by step. There's a reason. We go further down to verse 3. So now, action. Before that, all in his mind, in his heart. Now, another step. Actions. He sent and inquired about that woman. And someone replied, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? The wife, can you hear that? That woman belongs to Uriah. She was the wife of somebody. I think the Holy Spirit should remind him, or already reminded him. Not for you. Not for you. She is not for you. But what did he do? Then David sent messengers, took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. Suddenly, all these steps suddenly come up to here. Just like a click. It may all happen within 30 minutes. He was so good, he was a hero. Suddenly he turned to a villain, a monster. In just maybe 30 minutes or even 20 minutes, he took her, lay with her. What does that tell us? Isn't it scary? How come such a good person suddenly turned to a monster like that? After that, and the woman conceived. So she sent David and told David and said, I am with child. Wow, so often when we sin, we hope there's no consequences. We hope no one knows. But just for that instant, just for that night, she got pregnant. She was cleansed from her impurity. That means she was not already pregnant. So this baby must be from David, the consequences of his sin. And how is he going to deal with it? So often when we sin, we hope, oh, after that, nobody knows. No one knows. That's good. But God knows, and he led you to bear, to see there's consequence. Wow, for me, this is a very dark, dark page section in the Bible. Just like chapter 3 in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned. It's all only in a few verses. Then man's destiny changed. And in these 4 or 5 verses, suddenly a hero turned to a monster. How can it be? And yet, when God recorded it, he showed us how little step David fall into such sin. And after that, what are you going to do with this? How can he face the people fighting for him? How can he face Uriah? Your wife got pregnant by me. What would other warriors, we are fighting so hard for you, and you do that to us? Would you do that to my wife? How can you? So he is in a deep trouble. Now in his mind, how can I face it? I can't let anyone know. So instead of returning to God at that moment, he has to go further down. We want to cover up. We don't want anyone to know. So what did he do? So he make another step. The mind starts to plot evil scheme in his heart. Then David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. So Joab sent Uriah. When Uriah had come to him, David asked, how's the situation? Are the people good? Next verse. And how the war prospered. But actually, he was not that concerned. He was trying to send Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet, hoping when Uriah go back to his house and have relationship with his wife, that may explain where the child is coming from. So he was trying to shift, to cover up, give Uriah a chance so that nobody know he sinned. But in verse 9, let's go back. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and the gift of food from the king followed him. He tried to cheer him up, make him happy, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house, no good. David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? He was hoping, planning, set everything ready for Uriah to go back to his house. Now we see how cunning David is in this stage. Are you surprised? If you know how cunning we are, we shouldn't be surprised. We are all like that. Suddenly we are so professional, liars. Just in an instant, we can turn to be like that. Next verse. And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents. Uriah was so faithful, just fully thinking about God and his people. And when my Lord Joab and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields, shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? But David did that. When his people are fighting for him, he just stayed back, enjoying having a good life he had. But look at Uriah, such a warrior, such a faithful one, such one who faithfully fight for the kingdom and God. David should feel ashamed. All these words come to his ears. It should pierce his heart. But he continued. Shall I then go down to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. He will not do it. But David did it. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day, and the next continued. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him. He purposely made him drunk, and David made him drunk to let him relax. He put down his vigilance and let him go home and have a relation with his wife. So that will explain where the child come from. You see, he planned so well. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but he did not go down to his house. Oh no, David got so angry. No, not according to my plan. What happened if people knows that? I got to think of something else. And you know what he did? Next verse. In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Oh no, this letter, delivered by Uriah himself. This is the warrant for his death. This letter. This letter, what's that about? And he wrote in the letter, send Uriah in the up forefront in the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. Planning to kill a faithful servant like that? What a monster. How terrible that is. Next verse. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, this is after this plan succeeded. Uriah did got killed by the enemies. But now David pretends to be, oh, bad luck, something like that. Thus you shall say to Joab, oh, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Oh, it's just an accident to cover up. So that he spoke this so that all the people hear that, they won't, oh, it's just an accident, Uriah got killed. But actually, he planned all this. And when he said something like this, is to convince others he has no part in it. It's just an accident. He seems to be such an understanding king. Oh, it's just, it's not your fault, Joab. Don't worry. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. So he encouraged him. So he become a cheater, a liar, a murderer, a hypocrite. Instead of just an adulterer, he got worse. And there seems to be no ending, going down. Next verse. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned. I wonder if she knew. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. So almost after a year, David got the son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So for this whole year, the pregnant child gave birth, was born, the whole year. I wonder, was his relationship with the Lord? I wonder, did he ever pray? I wonder, his conscience ever condemned him, accused him in all this? There must be a lot of anxiety, the guilt inside condemn him. It builds up such, there's no way to turn. No way, no, he can't tell anyone. This seems to be a secret, but this secret come back at night to him. I wonder if he can get a good night's sleep. Whenever he looked at that child, what did he think? And I wonder if that child grew up, how would David treat him? He may have put all his anger, project all his anger on this innocent child. Whenever he saw this child, because of you, all because of you, I have to kill Uriah, all because of you. So if that child grew up, he will be, I don't think David will really love this child. He will be the true victim if this child grew up. He has done nothing wrong. But all his sin, as if he seems to be the fruit of David's sin. He seems to be. So David would put all his anger on him. It's not fair, isn't it, if this child grew up and bear all the guilt. No, it's not his fault. It's David's fault. God knows it. And for the whole year, God waited. And instead of pointing out his sin directly, God asked Nathan to bring up a case to David for him to judge. Let's look at that case. And David judge has so good in judging others. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. When a traveler came to the rich man and he refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one of the wayfaring men who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So when looking at this picture, you think of the rich man and the poor man. The rich man obviously refers to David. And the poor man refers to Uriah. That little precious lamb refers to Bathsheba, the wife. He took somebody's wife. He knows it's wrong. There's a guilt inside him. But when he sees someone doing that, he condemns others with no mercy. What did David say? So David's anger was greatly aroused. So if we have not settled our sin, the guilt within will cause us to build up such negative energy. This anger one day will pour out to innocent party. Sometimes if you are rebuked by someone, your boss, but you dare not rebuke him, So you cast your anger to some other thing or some other innocent people. So channeled all the anger to someone else. David is doing the same thing. And against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold of the land because he did this thing and because he had no pity." He can condemn other, had no pity. He seemed so righteous, but he did the wrong thing himself. If we go on, then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." This is one of the most, I don't know how to say it. This, "You are the man." Shocking. Suddenly, he realized God is telling him, "You are the man. You are the man that shows no pity. You are the man that took each other's wife. You are the man." And then God proclaimed his judgment. "Thus says the Lord of God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." God knows it all. You can't hide. We can't have any excuse. You are the man. May God open our ears when he sends someone to tell us, "You are the man." Next. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel, before the sun." So you try to keep it a secret. If you do not repent, God will open it. Let all people know it. Wow. Such punishment. God is righteous. God is not mocked. God is a consuming fire. And what did David say? I only go up to verse 13. "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." No more excuse. "It's Bathsheba's fault. She shouldn't take a bath in the open space. It's Uriah's fault. It's somebody's fault. It's not my fault." No, no more excuses. You don't have to cover up. God sees through everything. So at times like this, brothers and sisters, the only way, when God pointed that out, we can only say, "I have sinned." No more excuse. Very short verse. "I have sinned against the Lord." So this is repentance before the Lord. So if we look at his Psalms, 51 or 32, it talks about his repentance before the Lord. I'll leave that for you. Psalm 32, 51, go home and read it. But now let's think about some of the questions that arise from his transgressions. We do it one by one. Three questions. The first one, can a strong Christian be immune to sin? David, such a hero. He won so many battles. He has such glorious history before the Lord. But one day, suddenly collapsed. Can you believe that? I want to say is all the past victory in the battles cannot keep us safe. You have been eating healthy food all your life, but if you eat the poison today, you will die. So no matter how good you were or how good you are all the time, but in just one moment, we depart from our Lord. We are so vulnerable to sin. We cannot keep ourselves. I think David will regret it. Oh, I should go out to fight the battle. I shouldn't walk on the top of my house. I shouldn't watch woman taking a bath. So much regret. Recently, I saw the news about Turkey, what happens. The news talk about that beautiful hotel, so many stories high. It's going to, it's collapsed. And when it started to move, I counted in my heart, one, two, three, four, five. 5 seconds, multi-stories hotel, become ruble. I can't believe it. Seconds like that. One moment depart from Him, we can collapse. We need God to keep us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Remember when the Lord spoke to his disciples, oh, you will forsake me. Denied me. Peter said, I won't. Everybody will. I won't. He think he can stand. And then he denied the Lord 3 times, not 1 time. Then it tells us how vulnerable we are if we are not stand by him all the time. Remember the song, I Need Thee Every Hour? In verse 2, it says, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. The only one who can keep us from sin is when he is near to us. Someone asked a little girl, what happens if Satan comes and knocks on your door? Can you resist him? The little girl say, I'll ask Jesus to open that door. We can't, but he can. He can keep us. So no matter how strong you are, Moses, he sinned. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they lied. David, you know, everyone failed. In their own times, but only God can keep us. Only Jesus, he's victorious over sin. And if he's with us, then we can stand. Otherwise, we will fall, just like David. Now, the second question is very simple. What should I do if I sin? Remember David? He tried to cover up. There are consequences. He tried to cover up so that, because there's a child, I got pregnant. He tried to cover that up. How? By bringing Uriah back, by get Uriah drunk. If not, killed Uriah so nobody knows. This is how he dealt with sin. So according to the Bible, when we have sinned, in 1 John, if we confess our sin, just like David, I have sinned against the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the only way to do, confess And by Jesus' blood, we can be cleansed. Not by covering up, not otherwise we'll go deeper into other sins. But sometimes people say, sorry, sorry. They don't really mean it. After a while, he did it. When my nephew was a young kid, he knows, for he has always done something wrong. When the adult caught him, sorry, sorry, and then he did it again later on, trying to make himself cute. Sorry, as if there's no consequence. So this is not the remorse I'm talking about. We can so easily say sorry without changes in our behavior. So let us be, there's a true remorse. If we go look further down, we can see David come into remorse. And when God passed judgment on him, David accept, not arguing. When God passed judgment on Cain, oh, this is too heavy. No, no, not. This is too heavy on me. But David accept. Accept God's judgment. So accept God's discipline is a way of really remorse, accepting the consequences before the Lord. And just look upon his mercy to sustain you. Look upon his mercy. The third question is, how can I to avoid sinning before the Lord? According to Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something positive. And make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So in the book of Romans, Paul, the Holy Spirit warned us, make no provision for the flesh. If you are struggling with gambling, or if you are struggling with drinking problem, don't go to the bar. Don't go with friends to have a drink if you are struggling with it. Don't put yourself into temptation. Don't provide such situation, or don't go with friends that draw you into such situation. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, do not lead us into temptation. We need to pray. So easily temptation comes. We pray the Lord will lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver me, Lord, deliver me. So you see, being a Christian, we have to totally rely on him. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, we may say, oh, even David failed. There's no need to resist. I failed. I just accept. I just go along. I just follow my flesh. No, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Stumbling is not a must. He can keep you. The focus is not on the stumbling. The focus is to relate to him. He is able to keep you and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So may God keep us, sustain us. We are vulnerable to sin. So easily give in to temptation. We are not superhuman. We are weak, but he is strong. I need thee every hour. We are going to sing 103. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Only he can keep us from sin and temptation. Let us stand. Pour out our hearts. Let this become our prayer.
Israel, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. Lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee
every hour, in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, indeed, we need you every hour. Even David can fail before you. So we know we are vulnerable, but you are strong and you are mighty. We pray that we will always abide in you. Lord, keep us, not just from sin, but to live a life that pleases you, that love you, that serve you. We commit ourselves in your own hand, Lord. Continue to guide us and keep us from sin and stumbling. Thank you for today's message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.